What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. Thanks so much for tuning in. I was off last week, but I am back this week to keep on talking Dolphins football. I know it's a bit of a dead period. Offseason workouts have ended. Players are away from the facilities until late July, but we're still going to talk Dolphins. But with a little twist, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be breaking down the Dolphins as they kind of match up to their division rivals in the AFC East. And this week, we're going to start with the New York Jets, excuse me, not the Giants, the Jets. And to do that, I had to bring in DJ Bien-Aimé, friend of the show. He's been on a couple times, outgoing Jets beat writer at the New York Daily News. I got to say outgoing because he announced last week that it's wrapping up this Friday, right, DJ?
Yeah, man, I'm out of here Friday, you feel me? Going on bigger and better things, you feel me? But no, I can't announce it yet, but, you know.
No, nah, I'm excited for you. Like you said, yesterday's price is not today's price is not yesterday's price.
Butchered the line.
I know I butchered it. I butchered
yesterday's
it.
Price is not today's price.
Shout out, Fat Joe. But yeah, I'm really happy for you, man. You did a great work in your 1 year up there. And like you said, you can't announce it yet, but I'm really excited for your next stop. But we gotta wrap up your last week in good fashion, talking Dolphins, Jets. I know you had a lot of fun with Jets fans on Twitter over the past year or so, being a Dolphins fan yourself, talking to a Zach Wilson. So we're gonna wrap it up just like that. And we got to start with the Jets. You know, like I said, offseason workouts have ended. You know, it's a big year for Zach Wilson in year two after some struggles as a rookie. He obviously had a knee injury that sidelined him for a couple games, but he's back. Same head coach, same offensive coordinator. Some nice additions in the offseason, like CJ Uzoma, offensive guard, Lakin Tomlinson. They obviously drafted Garrett Wilson in the first round. What did you see from Zach Wilson, and what is the word out on Zach Wilson after the offseason workouts?
So, what I saw was a little bit more decisiveness. You know, just being able to read who he's supposed to read. Because in the Jets offensive scheme, it's not really, you know, you got to read the safeties, see what coverage they're in, and then proceed with that. Like, some of their plays, it really doesn't matter what the coverage is. You're reading a specific defender and then attacking off of that specific defender. You know what I'm saying? Like, hypothetically, like, if you got a receiver in the slot running a go route, let's say running dagger concept, you got a slot receiver running a go route, and then you got the outside receiver running an in breaking route, let's say 10, 15 yards, whatever it is. Zach is basically in that, whoever, you know, whatever safety is over that, whatever defender is over that slot receiver, that's who he's reading. You know what I'm saying? Whatever he does, he's reading off of that versus, let's say, him trying to figure out, okay, the safeties are doing this, the corners are doing that, linebackers doing that. That's not what the offense is all about, really. Like, you got to really have trust in Michael Florida. He's going to put you in a good position. Consistently play in and play out. And if he doesn't, that's when, okay, make a play for me. But throughout the offseason, they did a really good job. He did a really good job of trusting Michael Floyd and the objectives of the offense and attacking it in that manner versus where last year around this time, he looked good for the most part. Like, I'll give him that. But it was more like, okay, you know, a receiver's off 10 yards, corner's off 10 yards, I'm going to just throw this out route, I'm going to just throw this hitch route, you know, like easy, simplistic completions that aren't really conducive to what NFL football really looks like. And he was going against a weaker team defensively last year versus this year. That's why there's more variance where, like, he had some good moments and good practices, and then it kind of fell off at times. Last year, it was pretty steady and consistent. Like, he was looking good. Majority of the time, like I said on another podcast, if Zach and OTAs last year and let's say there was no training camp, a little, and you know, you had the preseason, you know what I'm saying, you went into week one, you could have legitimately made the case that he could have been rookie of the year, but obviously that's not what happened. But this year, there's a little more variance, but variance in a good way, right? Good defense, you know what I'm saying, they got more talent there and they were making plays and making Zach work, and Zach, when he was on, you could tell his eyes were in the right spot, right? He was going through things a lot quicker and more decisive, which he didn't do a lot last year.
Yeah, so really playing within the confines of the offense is what you're saying you're seeing more. And again, it seemed like that was like the major knock on him. Like he has all the talent to make the throws. We saw all the off platform throws at BYU and sometimes, you know, in the first half of his rookie season, but right. It's like, and we talk about this a lot with like quarterback play. It's like, that's not what it is on a play to play basis. It's nice to have that, have that in your bag when things like, you know, turn the crap around you, but it's like you can't always just kind of like freelance, and you really got to know what you're doing on an individual play. So it seems like, you know, he's improving in that regard.
Absolutely. Yeah, most definitely. You know, as I said, we always get enamored with like the splash plays, but in reality, that's not what happens on each and every single play. Like, what makes Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady great is like, outside of those five, maybe six plays within the confines of the game, they're just slicing and dicing you up.
Yeah.
Play after play after play after play. And then when it's time to create off script, then they make magic happen outside of Brady. Brady's not, you know, Brady's just a genius and a cyborg, and he's just making plays happen within the confines of the offense. But yeah, bro, like, you know, that's why when, you know, Jeff fans always gas up Zach and they talk about his arm talent, off-platform stuff, they just forget that, like, that happens so infrequently throughout the course of a game. If you're relying on that, you are going to lose more than you win. Simple. Yeah.
You got to hit the layups. You got to hit the layups. And, you know, we're going to talk about it, and, you know, later on in the show. But, like, that's the thing about Tua. It's like Tua can hit the layups. Tua can drop back one step, three step, whatever, and let it rip and hit his guy. But it's sometimes when, you know, the play breaks down, he's got to roll around, he's got to move around, where, you know, you're not going to see the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or, you know, potentially Zach Wilson type deal. So, obviously it's going to be a big, big year for the Jets. There's a lot of talk about the Jets' improvements. And, you know, I think the over-under on their wins is like 4.5 or 5. I think it's 5.5 or something like that. People are hammering the 5.5 because they think that, you know, this is a much improved team. And that's really what I want to get into. You know, it's not just Zach Wilson, but, you know, they had an active free agency. Like I said, bringing in some guys, they had a ton of draft capital. I mean, what's the vibe, you know, outside of Zach Wilson? What are, you know, Jets fans, Jets coaches really, really high on, you know, entering training camp?
To be honest, I think they went into the season – I mean, the offseason, they went into it knowing Zach was bad as a rookie. And we should not expect Zach to be great in year two. We should not expect him to be very good in year two. We should expect him to be solid. And if he exceeds that, great. But with that approach, you want to build up the roster around Zach so he's not requiring him to be great. And you saw that with the moves that they made. And that's why I think the vibe in the building is, okay, we have a very talented team. Like, there's way more talent across the board on a team that's going to require, not going to require Zach to be magnificent for us to have a shot at the playoffs. Like, Zach can be, let's say, you know, like 62% completion, 3,600 yards, 22 to 24 touchdowns, 25 touchdowns, but the run game is good. Let's say Brees is a damn near 1,000-yard back. Michael Carter is almost 1,000-yard back. And you got a good defense, a top 20 or top 15. You're going to be able to win a lot of games that way, you know. Yeah. So I think that's the vibe, is that they have a good team around Zach, a good enough team around Zach to where he doesn't have to be a superhuman. Because, again, like, people don't have the rookie year that he had, and then they – just turn it to like a bona fide star
in the year two. I mean, it's going to be a progression. He could get there. Yeah. If he does, it's going to be a progression, not like a year one, a crazy year two jump.
Right. Exactly. So
it's funny you mention it, though, like the kind of the way that they approach the offseason. It's like, all right, we don't want our quarterback to like have to be like a, you know, an elite top five quarterback to win right now. So we're just going to flood him with skill position players, surrounding teammates. It's like, it sounds like every other team not named the Bills in the AFC East. Cause I mean, that sounds like the Dolphins, to be honest.
And right. Yeah.
I mean, I've said it, the Dolphins have put Tua in a situation where, you know, he's not going to have to do everything. He's going to have to, I keep on putting it this way. Tua is really going to have to mess things up for them not to be successful you know, under Mike McDaniel, because they got the running backs, they got Tyreek Hill, they got Jalen Waddle, they got Mike Gesicki. The offensive line, you know, they added some pieces there. And even with Mac Jones, it's like Mac Jones might have like the lowest, you know, ceiling of all of them. But we already saw it as a rookie, like how efficient he can be if you just surround him with a good offensive line, you know, a solid running back and a great defense. So it's just funny, like we all know that the Bills and Josh Allen are like the class of the toast of the division. And then you have a bunch of young quarterbacks where it's like, all right, we don't know how good they can be yet, but let's just like flood them with talent and then see where it gets. And I think it's obviously a good strategy because, you know, with the way, you know, quarterback contracts are, and, you know, the second contracts, the second big extension, it's like, we talk so much about how teams are a lot of winning teams nowadays are maximizing that 4 or 5 year window where you're getting them on a relatively cheap contract. So it makes sense to, you know, flood them with teammates and see, all right, how good can they be? And you know, how far can they take us right now? So just interesting how it's like, you know, Jets fans, Dolphins fans, they've been going back at each other a lot over the offseason, but it's like, they all kind of in the same boat. Obviously the Dolphins have had a little more success over the, you know, in the head-to-head matchup and whatnot. But they're franchises that are kind of in the same spot with their quarterbacks where it's like, we don't really know what we have here yet. And we're still in that kind of feeling out process.
Yeah, man. That's what it kind of feels like. I think the team that's probably most out of the Bills that's probably most confident in their quarterback is probably the Patriots, because I mean, Mac Jones did have a better rookie year than Tua had as a rookie, and even better year than Tua had his second year. And then Mac Jones obviously had like triple the year that Zach had. So I think the Patriots feel more confident, but I mean, like, as you said, like he may have the lowest ceiling out of the three. So, yeah. I mean, obviously Zach has more natural talent than Tua and Mac Jones.
Yeah, the upside is there because of the physical tools, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like yeah. Zach can whip it in ways that is like, I won't say like most quarterbacks can't, but like probably like 16 quarterbacks can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of just velocity, you know, arm strength. The bit that kid, bro, like his, the way he can torque and
twerk or twerk.
The way
he, I heard twerk.
The way he can torque is, I guess, his core to make certain throws, but like he can just do it in like a snap of an instance. It's just, and get outstanding velocity on some passes is just, yeah, no, that's special. I'll give him that. Like, you know, that he has, he just has to be able to read defenses and, you know, when there's pressure around, everybody, listen, everybody can look good at OTAs, man.
Yeah,
you know
what yeah. I'm saying? That's why I didn't want to make too much of it, you know, to a hitting Tyreek deep. That's good and all, but I'm like, man, it's OTAs. the middle of May, June.
Right.
You know, for the exactly. Dolphins case, you got backups in there. Like, you don't want to make too much of it, but you know. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like, I completely agree. Like, again, like it's June, it's May, like none of this stuff matters. In like
the grand scheme of things, it doesn't count. It's not counting at all to what we're going to see in the fall.
Exactly. Like for us, like it doesn't move the needle for because again, like when September, October, November hits, we're not going to be talking about OTAs.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're going to talk more about DJ Squad. That is the Dolphins. We're going to talk about how he's feeling about Tua, how he's feeling about Mike McDaniel, and how the Dolphins are going to do in 2022. So stay locked with us. What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in Depth podcast, talking all things Dolphins with outgoing Jets beat writer DJ Bienname. The first half, you know, we were just rapping a little bit about what he's seen from Zach Wilson and the Jets and OTAs. But in the second half, we're going to switch gears, really locking in on the Dolphins and, you know, what's been a very active offseason. I mean, man, we're finally reached like a lull. I feel like ever since Flores was fired, it's just been nonstop. It's been something every week, every other week. But yeah, they're locked in with new head coach, first year head coach Mike McDaniel. Like I said, they wrapped up their first offseason workout program under McDaniel about 2 weeks ago. And it was a pretty successful, you know, we said these offseason programs don't really move the needle, but it does carry a little bit more significance when you're a first year head coach, kind of, you know, getting a feel for your team, establishing your own routine, establishing your culture. And they did that with Mike McDaniel, and, you know, all eyes, everyone's focused on what is he going to do with Tua Tagovailoa, who, you know, in 2 years has been, you know, he's been inconsistent, you know, some of it his own issues, some of it, you know, his supporting cast. But with Mike McDaniel, who's kind of bringing in what's perceived as a quarterback friendly system, the same system that they're running in New York with that West Coast, you know, wide zone scheme. The perception is that, you know, Tua, he's in line for a breakout year. We've talked a lot about this, you know, off camera, you know, privately. But I'm curious, what are your thoughts about Mike McDaniel and his potential with Tua?
So the West Coast Shanahan offense obviously has produced a lot of success. Like, there's not that many quarterbacks that haven't done well in the system. So that kind of lends you to believe that Tua should have a better, I guess, you know, basically a breakout year three. We've seen Jared Goff cook in this system. We've seen Matt Schaub cook in this system. We've seen Brian Hoyer cook in this system.
I saw Joe Flacco cook in that system a couple years back with Gary Kubiak in 2014, I think. Yeah.
So, like, it's been proven. So, like, it's pretty, I don't want to say pretty obvious. No, it's pretty obvious. As long as he stays healthy for 16 games, he'll have career numbers across the board. He should be able to get well over 20 touchdowns. Should be able to get well over 3,500 yards passing. The question is, like, where do those numbers eventually lie? Yeah. And how quickly will he learn that you just want to let your offensive coordinator? It's weird, man. Because, like, with that scheme, they want a lot of, I won't say they want a lot of control, but, like, they believe so much in their scheme that you kind of got to let them kind of guide you. And how much will Tua be receptive to just being guided? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that he's going to have any issues with that. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, where he doesn't overthink things and he just trusts Mike McDaniel's plan, play in and play out, you know? And obviously when things don't work, can he make something shake out of that? So I think he's still going to have – I think he'll have his best season to date, because obviously, like, how can't you? You got Tyreek Hill, you got Mike Gesicki, you got Jalen Waddle, you got Cedric Wilson, you got a better offensive line. You're going to have – you know, you basically got, like, three running backs now, because you got Edmonds, you got Sony, you got Gaskins, you got Mostert. Like, you got so many weapons now. So I think, you know, they've isolated a variable, and if Tua steps up and performs well, then you're good. If not, you try to find a replacement. The question is, like, what numbers does he have to put up for them to be content with Tua?
And yeah, I think to be confident. Exactly. You know,
I think he got to be over 30 touchdowns, or at least.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's not unattainable, but
I'm sorry. It is what it is, right? Because we've seen quarterbacks in a system similar to this put up numbers that are good, that are efficient, and they've proven they weren't the guy. Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Hell, like, Baker kind of runs a similar system.
It's a similar scheme.
And they got rid of him. Like, you got to be able to put up some, like, legitimate big time numbers for it to be like, all right, yeah, we can go forward with this. Like, 25 touchdowns for an entire season might not cut it, especially, like, it would just depend how far they go. Like, if they make it to the playoffs and make a run, like, get to the AFC Championship game, then cool. But, like, bro, like, so many quarterbacks, and even, like, Ryan Tannehill had like 41 touchdowns total in this system. So, like, you got to put up some crazy numbers for you to feel good about
going forward. Yeah, that's a really interesting thing that you bring up, because, I mean, the elephant in the room is that the Dolphins have, I believe, two first-round picks next year. Right. They've got a ton of top 50, top 100 picks in 2023. I got to say, I mean, the Tom Brady rumors, I mean, they've been like a cloud over the organization, you know, ever since the season ended. And I'm sure that until Tom Brady, like, says, I'm retired and he takes the Fox money, like, that's going to be a cloud hanging over the franchise. Right. And it is a really interesting conversation. Like, at what point, what numbers does Tua have to put up? What does Tua have to do for them to like go into the following offseason and say, we're not seeking a new quarterback? Right. Because you can look at the number, the counting stats and be like, oh, they're good numbers, but like the context of them, you know, right. I think it's more one of those deals where you're going to see like for me, and we haven't even touched on it because, you know, we've talked about this so much, but like the deep ball stuff, like I think that's overblown.
That's way overblown. Yeah, it's intermediate stuff for him.
Exactly.
He was terrible last year on intermediate throws. Terrible.
Exactly.
He's fine. It's intermediate.
And I think that's more so like trusting like what he sees in the field, what he sees in terms of the defenses and on the field. I think that's why he has some of those issues. And it's interesting, right. Like you hear these comments about him being like, oh, there's people saying, oh, he's a one read quarterback, da da da. You know, that's why they implemented the system that they had last year with the RPO. And it's like, I think that's my one thing for Tua. I think that even in OTAs, like the issue for me or the one thing that maybe concerned me was like, oh no, not him throwing deep, but like him just reading the field and trusting his eyes. And I think that obviously he's facing a defense, you know, with Josh Boyer and him, that's like one of the best units in the NFL. But if I have one concern about Tua himself, it's like trusting his eyes and reading the field. And I think that that's one of those things as a young quarterback where it's like, most young quarterbacks struggle with that. But as you see more defenses, as you get more comfortable in the system, you start to trust what you see more. And truthfully, I think, like, again, I keep on saying it's going to be hard for Tua not to mess it up. Like the way Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are just going to like influence defenses. I mean, yeah. It's going to be, like you said, like trusting the offensive coordinator, throwing to a spot and letting a guy work. Right. So again, I mean, I've been saying it, you know, since they brought McDaniel in and made the moves they made. I'm bullish on the Dolphins. I think that Tua is going to have a good season. But again, like you said, it's that question of like, how good does he have to be for the Dolphins, you know, brass to say, yeah, we're comfortable going forward with them. Because like you said, Jimmy Garoppolo took the 49ers to a Super Bowl and two NFC Championship games. And right. they're praying his shoulder is good so they can trade that dude before the start of the season. So the question is like, how good is Tua and what do they need to see specifically to feel comfortable going forward with them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like when it comes to that, you know, because they do have two first round picks next year. My thing is with the roster that they have, you probably don't move off of Tua for a rookie. You probably try to move off of Tua if he doesn't.
For an established quarterback.
Right. The question is, who is that guy going to be? Like, we don't know yet. But then again, like, you never know what's going to happen in a year, you know, you feel me? Like, you just really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this just is past offseason, Russell Wilson. I mean, we all kind of saw that. But again, I think that, you know, we didn't really believe it until it happened. But you, again, like right. you said, you just never know who might become available. You know, we're just living. It seems like we're just in a new era with the NFL of like, you know, we talked about it with basketball and how like LeBron kind of ushered in like player empowerment, player movement. But it seems like now like players are like, shoot, especially NFL players, like, shoot, I want to leave, like trade me, like they'll force their hand out. So it will be interesting to see what happens if you know things kind of go that route. But we gotta shift gears real quick, and I gotta put your feet to the fire.
Oh, here we go.
I gotta do it. So we talked about this before we recorded. I said I gotta ask DJ, are you taking Tua or Zach in 2022? But I feel like that's too easy because Zach is a second year player. Yeah,
I would take Tua because Tua has more talent around him, and Tua, I mean, it's gonna be his third year.
Yeah, but exactly, that's the easy cop out. I'm saying 2 years from now, so entering 2023, do you think you'd rather have Tua or Zach Wilson?
It's a tough dog.
Because to pick Zach Wilson, you gotta have faith in, you know, what he's gonna show and the improvement he's gonna make in year two. And if you're taking, you know, Tua in 2023, 2 years from now, you're pretty much saying, yeah, this dude's gonna be a legitimate starter, you know, with Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, which isn't a bad guess, bad prediction. I think most people are expecting him to put up some numbers with that crew, but I think I'll probably say Tua because I haven't watched a ton of Zach Wilson, but even
I've watched a ton of both.
Yeah, exactly. But even in the one game that he played against the Dolphins, I thought that he looked a little limited. I think they ran the ball a lot. It seems like they're almost like taking the ball out of his hands for him, so he didn't mess things up.
Right.
So I think I roll with Tua right now, especially like for 2+ years after.
I think. Who I would go with, I think both of them probably work out. I think they both probably work out, if I'm being honest. I think they both probably work out when I think about it. Cause like just the talent and like talking to some more people in the Jets building, it just seems that like Zach's in a much better place. So I think there's a good chance he works out. And I think, you know, Tua works out. So if they both work out, I'm gonna go to the guy that's more talented. So I'm gonna go with Zach.
Oh man, I was gonna say you were trying to like placate and like satisfy both the Jets
Twitter.
Bump Dolphins Twitter. I'm going with Zach.
I'm gonna go with the more talented guy. If I think both are gonna work out, then and I'm gonna just go to the more talented guy because like Zach can do things off platform that Tua just will never ever be able to do. So I mean that's what it just comes down to. Like things that Zach can do off platform that Tua just won't. I mean, he just doesn't have the athletic ability. So I think both will work out. I think that if I had to pick one, I'm gonna go with. It's all about aesthetics. I'm gonna go with the guy that's more physically gifted across the board.
But sometimes, you know that phrase. I'm not gonna butcher this phrase, but they say all that glitters isn't gold.
That's true. All that glitter ain't gold. But you know, I just wouldn't take 2011 Matt Moore over Tua.
We're not gonna get into that.
I love Omar, man, but Omar was tripping on that one.
shout out Omar.
When you say stuff like that, you basically saying like you think Tua's gonna be ass. That is true, it. True. That's what you're saying without saying not real. I don't think he realized basically what he was saying that Tua's ass. Because if you think Matt Moore 2011, then you think Tua is ass. Like, come on, like, bro, like. You know, the Dolphins saw Matt Moore in 2011. They went and they drafted a quarterback that was a former wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, come on, bro. Like Matt Moore was in the building for years. Tannehill get hurt in 2017. Adam Gase says, you know what? Go get me Matt. Don't go get me Jay Cutler. After Matt Moore took him to the playoffs. After he got hurt. What was Jay Ajayi in that defense?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro. Like. But that's neither here nor there. That's neither here.
I was going to say, we didn't go. I was like, we're not going to go there, but then we went there. But, all right. And the last question I got to ask you. So, like I said, the Bills, they're the top dogs in the FCE, Super Bowl favorites. But I feel like that number two spot is definitely open. You know, I know the Patriots finished number two last year, second in the division, made the playoffs. But I'm not impressed by what they've done this offseason. So, that number two spot, in my eyes, is up for the taking. I think the Dolphins are definitely probably the viewed as kind of the favorite to be, you know, runners up to the Bills. But is there any way the Jets can kind of leapfrog and go from fourth to second in the division?
Yeah. So like the defense, I think if the defense plays at a top 10 level, then yeah, I think the defense plays like how San Fran's defense played in 2019. Then yeah, absolutely. Like that defense was like bonkers. You know what I'm saying? Or if their defense plays, like the Bills defense played in 2019 Josh Allen's second year, because like the Jets defense and the Bills defense, they have a lot of similar concepts. They both run a 4-3. I've talked to Robert Saleh before. He's talked about how like
a lot of cover two stuff.
Yeah, like Sean McDermott's taken some of his stuff and made it a little bit better, or and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So like they run similar schemes, you know, like where it's a lot of like, early downs, it's you know, vanilla off man stuff, and then you know they get real creative on third downs and stuff. But I think that the Jets, if that happens, they could be second. I think that the Dolphins out of all those three teams have the best shot to leapfrog the Bills. If I had to pick one, when you look at the Dolphins roster, like they have players that are legitimately like arguably top five at their position, right?
Yeah. And at premium positions, we talked about
premium positions.
They have top five talent at premium positions, like you said, wide receiver, cornerback, edge rusher. you know, those types of positions, they have, you know, top five talent.
And corner, like they have, like Xavier Howard is arguably a top five corner. You got Armstead, arguably a top five left tackle. You got
Tyreek Hill, and Waddle could be a top guy.
Like, that should be the best receiver tandem in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just right a matter, here, just a matter of if everything goes right with the quarterback and learning that new system. That's the only question that there is.
That's what I'm saying, like, if you put, like, let's say you put, I don't know, like Lamar Jackson, like you put like a legitimate like star in the Dolphins offense, like it's not
that quarterback.
A quarterback. It's a coin flip between them and the Bills. If we're just being honest, like, it's a coin flip. Let's say like if Justin Herbert was in this offense, we'd be talking about can Dolphins win the Super Bowl. If Burrow or Lamar or Kyler Murray, we'd be talking about that. Just, you know, like, it's just question marks with Tua. Like, the Dolphins over under is like nine.
Yeah, 8.5, something like that.
Yeah, so basically, like, the Vegas is telling you that there's talent on this roster. We just don't know about the quarterback. And I think we both agree that Tua's going to have a much better year. We just don't know exactly what that's going to look like.
Nah, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, like I said, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Like, premium positions – the Dolphins just went all in and definitely added talent. I mean, we even saw it the second meeting with the Dolphins and the Bills, where I think it was on it was on Halloween, where it's like they gave them a run for their money. Like,
that's, I know,
we don't count, like, you know, we don't get participation trophies and whatnot, but for 2.5 quarters, like, they gave the Bills a run for their money, and they limited the Bills to like their worst first half of the entire season.
Yeah, I remember that game. Yeah. I remember rewatching that game and just thinking like that defense finally figured it out.
Yeah,
like, because the defense was holding them, just the offense didn't give them nothing. But like, the defense finally figured it out. I'm really intrigued to see what Tua looks like in a legitimate NFL offense. Because if you ask me, I was more impressed with his rookie year than I was with his second year. Because his second year was so much smoking mirrors because of all the RPO stuff. Like, that's not sustainable. Like, year one, he had like a legitimate offensive coordinator in Chan Gailey, who eventually got, you know, we don't know if he got ran out or he just wanted to get out, whatever it was. But like, there were moments where Tua looked like, okay, I see why they took him number five overall. You know, whether it was that Cardinals game or whether it was even like some of that Chiefs game
before, yeah.
You know, whether it was some of that, you know, even a little bit of the Patriots game where like, I don't have any weapons, but I'm gonna rely on my run game and we're gonna make something shake. Or even like a little bit of the Chargers game where you were seeing things that made you go, last year you just didn't see that, like, I was more impressed with his rookie year versus his second year. Granted, like, the circumstances were a lot worse offensively. Yeah. The offensive line was terrible. His receivers, most of them were, you know, were hurt.
Injured,
outside of Waddle. And obviously the offensive line was terrible. But, yeah, man, I was more impressed with his rookie year, man, because, like, you saw things that made you think, So I'm really intrigued to see what – he looks like in a real NFL offense. Cause again, the RPO, that's just hogwash. Like, that's not, cause again, like, you saw how that stretch, he was putting up really good numbers. And
when they played a legitimate defense and a legitimate team, they faced the Titans, and it was like, they were onto it. And then when they got into I always say it, when you get into like 3rd and 11, like, you're not running RPOs, like, you're dropping back, reading the defense and throwing a strike. And the RPO can get you some places, but it can't take you where you need to go completely.
Exactly. Like, think about it, like, he threw for he had one of his best games that first game against the Jets. But then when he played them again the second time,
they were onto it.
They had him figured out. They knew what Tua was trying to do. That's why he struggled a little bit. So I really wonder what he's gonna look like in year two. I mean, you know, in this system where it's like a real actual offense, like an NFL offense, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it is gonna be interesting to see. And even though you won't be covering the AFC East and the Jets directly, I know you're gonna be in the middle of all the Dolphins Jets talk on Twitter, just stirring it up like you always do. But I appreciate you. Like I said, congratulations. I'm really excited for your next move. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. So, you know, more blessings to you. Really, really proud of you, man.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that. I'll be back in Miami in a couple of weeks and we can hit up that spot.
Link up again, you know.
Man. 125. But... That's all.
Oh, man. That brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. Like I said, I want to thank DJ so much for joining me. We're going to be back again to talk Dolphins football as we kind of take a trip around the AFC East and look at how Miami matches up with their division rivals. But until then, you guys take care. See ya.